Colossians 3. Let's read verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. These verses are so vital that we're just going to deal with a couple of them. Like Wednesday night, we dealt with the first two verses. Set your affection. Seek those things above. And these verses 3 and 4, you're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Christ, our life. It's so vital that we need to look at them very closely. Vital to our peace, comfort, consolation. In these verses are faith. Faith is what this is. And it's written to those in Christ because he says, if you're risen with Christ. This is spoken, written to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. He wrote and said, those who have this faith, hope, and love in Christ. So that's who this is written to. Those are written, risen with Him. And he's going to tell us about what it means to be, we're going to look into what it means to be dead. This is something spoken of in Scriptures often. And it's for our peace, okay? You're dead. But look at chapter 2, verse 11. It says, in Christ also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. He's talking about Christ crucified, what He did on Calvary's tree for us. We were in Him, our substitute. Buried with Him, verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism, and wherein also you're risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who raised Him from the dead. In verse 13, you're quickened. You being dead in your sins, the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Christ, made alive to God from the dead. So in chapter 3, verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, he said, seek those things. If it's so, seek those things where Christ is. Set your affection. Set your affection. Now he's talking to living, breathing, responsible children, God's children. He's not talking to the world and unbelievers. He's talking to those alive unto God. Set your affection. As you would say, put your mind to it. Set your mind, your heart, on things above. And we looked at that Wednesday night, what that meant. If you weren't here, get the CD. I believe it'll help you. We all set our minds on things, don't we? And if you set your, if you really want something, you set your mind to it, you go after it, don't you, with all your mind, heart, and soul. And that's what he said. That's what the Father says to his children. Set your mind on it. Set your heart. And as we said, doubtless, without him, we can do nothing. So how, first thing is, we ask him for help. Lord, help me. And he says, Brother John Sheasley loves this verse, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What he tells us to do, he gives the grace for us to do it. Set your mind on it. And these things that we looked at, things of God, things of Christ, things concerning salvation, things above, things that are higher, things that are nobler, we sing the song. Things that are higher and nobler. And only those alive, quickened, have this desire. So if you have this desire, your mind, your heart set on things above, thank God for it. You're a child of God. So, he said in verse 3, since that is so, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, because you're dead. You're dead. And your life is hid
with Christ in God.
You're dead. Reckon yourself, Romans 6 said. Reckon it to be so. Go over there, Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 deals with this in depth, what it means to be dead. You're dead. Dead. Dead, he said. What does that mean, dead? Well, let me see if I can... It's hard enough to understand, let alone try to convey it. But we don't have to understand it. We just need to believe it. That's what reckon means. Reckon means believe it. Reckon means count it so. Reckon means to determine this, to regard it to be so, to think it so. It's an old... you know, my dad was in the Navy. And when you're on a ship, the captain determines the position of the ship. The reckoning of the ship. You determine where you are, so that you can determine that you're not lost. You give dead reckoning. You determine, you need to reckon, give a reckoning, or find the reckoning to make sure that you're not about to run the ship aground. You need to know where you are so you'll know you're not lost, you're not about to be shipwrecked. Well, that's a good way to look at this. A dead reckoning. Reckon it to be so. Determine it. All right, this is talking about, number one, our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ. And I said I can't really make this understandable. I can just tell it. Because of our standing in Christ, because of our union with Christ, that means, and you need to reckon it to be so, that we're dead to the reign, the rule, the realm of sin. And sin, it's all changed in Christ. All changed. Dead because of our standing in Christ, and dead to the world and the world to us. This is for our peace. Now look at Romans 6, verse 11. He says, look at verse 9. Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. In that he died unto sin, or because of sin, once. And in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. How's this? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Believe it to be so, for your peace, that if you're in Christ, and if you trust Christ, you look to Christ, you believe Christ, you believe Christ is your salvation, then you're in Christ. Reckon it so. Just don't try to understand what I'm trying to say, because I don't fully understand. Just believe it, okay? You're in Christ. Reckon it so. Reckon it doesn't mean it's something you do. It's something you believe. He's not saying for you to do anything. It's something you believe. And Colossians 3 says, you're dead. It doesn't say for you to do anything. It just said, you're dead. Reckon it so. Believe it to be so. That you're in Christ. Dead to sin, dead to the law, and dead to the world. Believe God. Take His word for it. If you trust in Christ, God says, you're dead. Meaning, crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ. The death sentence was carried out on the Lord Jesus Christ. The soul that sinneth must surely die. Well, I'm a sinner. But if I'm in Christ, Christ died. Christ died. Death sentence. I was killed. I was punished in Christ. Reckon it to be so. For your peace. Remember I said this is for our peace. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, Paul said. But not I, Christ that liveth in me. Dead, crucified with Christ. Dead to the penalty of the law. Dead to the law's demands. I don't think, you know, most of us in here have been under the sound of grace for so long. And few in here were under some kind of legal religion. So that this really, we can't really understand just what this means. And Paul one time said, he said, "Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, don't you hear it?" And so many do. I mean, so many desire to be under the law. There are teachers desiring to be teachers of the law. They don't understand what they affirm or what they believe. And there are people who think they're keeping the law and they're not. There's people who actually are under the dominion of the law, and they have no peace, no comfort, no hope. They're miserable people. But Christ has freed us from the law's demands. Dead to the demands of the law. Brother Ed Berry one time looked it up and printed it out for me. All of the precepts that the Jews are supposed to follow. That is what modern Jews can determine. And there were, I forget how many there were, and he gave us a book this thick of precepts that they try to keep. And the Scripture says to offend in one point, it's guilty of it all. The Scripture says that it shall be perfect to be accepted. And Christ came and kept it, every jot and tittle. This is not just a doctrine. This is for our peace and comfort and help, that Christ kept the law. And so when He died, He died. And you know, Sabbatarians, they want to keep the Sabbath. Don't either Saturday or some make it a Sunday. When was Christ? Christ was still lying in the grave, or dead, as it were, on Saturday. What? That's the Sabbath day. What does that tell us? That we're dead to the law. But these Sabbatarian, Seventh-day Adventists, you know, still trying to keep a day. They don't have that freedom, do they? They still are under the law. My. But Christ has freed us from the law's demand. And, you know, you can't dig up a dead man and kill him twice for the same crime. Can you? Can't hang him twice. You find out, you dig up something else. Oh, we didn't know he was guilty of this. Dig him up. Let's hang him again. No, you're dead. Crucified with Christ. See, this is sin. It's what guilt of it is what plagues us and bothers us and keeps us down. Reckon this to be so, and you'll have peace. You're dead. You're dead. And our Lord said, the Scripture says this, sin shall not have dominion over you. Dead to the reign and rule of sin. I don't understand. You don't have to understand. Just believe it. For your peace. Christ said it, and that makes it so. Sin shall have, take His word for it. You'll have peace. How can I be dead, though, when I feel it, when I struggle with it? How can I be dead? Go over to Romans 4. Look at this. We need to be like Abraham, who hoped, who against hope believed in hope, who believed the impossible. God told him something. He said, "How can this be so?" Well, it was so, although he hadn't even experienced it yet. Dead to the reign and rule of sin. Romans 4, look at verse 9 and 10. This blessedness, is it upon the circumcision only or the uncircumcision? That's those under the law or those not under the law. We say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision, keeping the law, under the law? No, the law wasn't even written yet. The law hadn't even, it's 400 years before the law. Well, then how? Read on. Not in circumcision, but uncircumcision. He received a sign, a seal of righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed, that is, charged, reckoned. That's the same word to them also. Verses 18 and 19. He, against hope, believed in hope. God said, you're going to have a son, Abraham. How can this be? I'm 100 years old. This can't be. This is impossible. Our Lord says, sin shall not have dominion over you. I don't see how this can be. I wrestle with it. It's in me. I dwell with it. Just reckon it be so. I said so. Verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, and he was 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was in strong in faith, giving glory to God, fully persuaded what he had promised he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Reckon yourselves dead. You're dead. Now, here it is. In a sentence, because of what Christ has done, because of what happened to Christ on Calvary's tree, he's our substitute. Because of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole relationship, our whole relationship to sin and the world and everything has changed. The scripture says we've been translated out of this kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. I don't see it. Well, it's so. I don't understand. Don't have to. Just believe. Believe. Sin shall not have dominion over you. The law has no claims on you. Death has no dominion. God's people don't die. They don't die. Our Lord said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I don't understand. Well, it's so. Why? Because he said so. He called it sleep. He changed it to sleep. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Paul said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. It's sleep. It's not dead. Why? Because Christ died. And he arose, and we arose with him, and there is no more death to believers. No more death. Our brother Charles is about to start living. He's about to start really living. And this is all for this reckoning. This faith, the believing we're dead, is for our peace. There's no peace from the guilt of sin. There's no peace from the accuser. There's no peace. There's no strength to fight against sin until we believe God, who says, you're dead. You're dead in Christ. I don't see it, but I trust Christ, so I reckon it's so. It is. It is. It's truth. Good news. He said, because I live, you live also. Because I died, you died. Because I was punished, you're punished. Just reckon it to be so. That's the best I can do with that. I can't do anything. That's it. You're dead. And you're dead also means you're dead like everything in this world. Reckon yourselves to be dying. That you're as good as dead. Reckon it so. You're as good as dead. Everything in this world is called flesh and corruption. This mortal, this mortality shall put on immortality. Reckon it to already be so. Look at it. Think about it. Go back to Colossians 3. Think about it as if it's already happened. As if it's already happened. And this is what faith does. You know, and faith looks afar off, sees things afar off. Faith sees things that are unseen. Not things that are seen, but unseen. And this is what keeps everything in perspective. And this is what keeps us from idolatry. This is what keeps us from being overcome by the world when we see it and everything in it as dead, including us. Dead. We need to see ourselves lying in a casket. That's our end. I told you about that time that my neighbor was moving out of the country, and I helped him build a big box to put his things in it. And after we built that box, I got to looking at it, and I thought, that's about the size of a casket. And I said, hold on a minute before we fill it up. And I got down in, I lay down in that cast, in that mob. I said, take my picture. And I laid there like that. And I had that in my desk drawer. And every now and then, I look at that. And that'd be a good thing for all of us to do. Because right there I am, and just real, real soon. Every one of us. Real soon. Real soon. And we need to reckon it. It's so. We're dead. Good as dead. What is your life? A vapor. A vapor. I mean, it's here for a time. We all do fade as a leaf, don't we? My. Everything. We're dead. We're dead. Old Brother Charles was here just recently, wasn't it? And even in 87 years old, he was full of life, wasn't it? A vigorous man, by reason of God-given strength in his 80s. He was a vigorous man, a lively man, still out driving that little blue Jeep, running around everywhere, fixing things. And boom. Now he's down and he's gone. Probably won't come back. Well, that's us. Reckon yourself dead. You're dead. As good as dead. Good as dead. Dead. And if we do that now, the heartaches and disappointments will be less severe. And we'll look forward to it. Hasten the coming of Christ. And dead means this. You're dead. Dead to the... You need to reckon yourselves dead to the world. Crucified to the world to me. Like Noah who went in that ark. Remember when Noah went in that ark and the Lord shut him in? The world was still going on, wasn't it? Doing what it was doing, buying, selling, so forth, till the rain came. But Noah was dead to it, wasn't it? It made no difference to him, really. And he was dead to the world. They forgot about him. Oh, that old fool Noah, gone into that ark, and not a drop. What a fool. Well, we're fools for Christ's sake, aren't we? Fools for Christ's sake. We've gone by faith into the ark, Christ, and the world's dead. This is a dead place. And this is a dead place. Dead. We need to be dead to the things of this world. Dead to the world's opinions, the thoughts and opinions, dead to the world's fears and so forth. What all the world, look at this, look at that. No, those are, we're looking at things not seen. But, doesn't that bother you? No. Looking unto Him. Dead, we need to be dead to the praises and the insults of the world. You know, a dead man. You go out there and dig up a dead man. Dig up a dead man and start bragging on him. Dig him up, start bragging on him. Boy, you look good. What a handsome fellow you are. How's he going to respond? That doesn't mean anything to him. Oh, you're smart. Oh, you're so brilliant. You're so strong. You're so wise. You're so this. He's dead. All right, turn around and start cussing him. Insulting. You ignorant. You stupid. You wretched. He's dead. He's dead. You're dead. Don't let the praises puff you up. Don't let the insults bring you down. You're dead. You're dead. That makes sense? Even if it doesn't, believe it. You're dead. In your life, now look at this. Your life. Your life. Christ, our life. Your new life in Christ, with Christ, is hid. It's hid. All right, this means a couple of things. Go over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. Your life is hid with Christ in God. This means the secrecy of it. It's something you really can't see. And it also means the security of it.
your life is hid. It's something you can't see, the secrecy of it, and your life is hid is something that's hidden and protected, like you would bury something. Bury it. It's hidden. Your life is hid. This new life, this new man, this new creature, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. That's what he said. Accepted, complete in Him. Hid. Well, that's hid not only to us, but to everybody else, this new creature. We can't see Him. We see Him in others, but we can't see Him ourselves. We can't. He's hid. But He's there. He's there. Look at 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now, right now, are we the sons of God. But it doth not yet appear unto us. Why? It's hid. The hidden man. You know what Paul says? The hidden man. Who's adorning Peter said, let it be not the outward man, but the hidden man. Hidden man. It doth not yet appear. It's hidden what we shall be. But we know this, when He shall appear, we'll be like Him. We'll see Him as He is. But as He is, so are we. Me. This new man, yet not I. Again, this is just something you believe. This new man. It's hid. It's hid from view. The secrecy of it and the security of it. Hid, safe, like something you would hide. You're dead. Your life is hid. Who has it buried and hidden with Christ in God, it said. You're safe in His hand, in Christ. Christ right now is seated with the Father, and you're already there. Your name is on a chair, a reservation, waiting on you. A seat at the Master's table. So your life is hid, real life. Life more abundant. Life more abundant. It's so. We're kind of like a worm. You know, worms turn into butterflies, don't they? Certain species of worms. But while they're worms, they're just crawling around, groveling here below. But just hold on. Just wait. You'll see. Or like a tadpole in a mud puddle, you know. Tadpole in a mud puddle. Man, there's got to be something better than this. And he's growing arms and legs. I don't know what these are for. Well, soon he's come out of that little puddle. And there's a whole abundant life to be experienced. Did that make sense? Well, it's so. Reckon it to be so. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. God hath revealed these things unto us. In part, we know in part. We preach in part. The unsearchable riches of Christ. That's why we can't fully understand it. The unsearchable riches. An inheritance reserved in heaven for us with Christ in God. With Christ in God. And he says, verse 4, when Christ our life shall appear, we will appear with Him. Who will? Those who trust Him. Those who are in Him. Those who believe Him. That's it. Not those that did this or did that. Those that in Christ by faith. Well, we have the hardest time just believing God, don't we? Just believe in God. But I this, I that. What do you mean? That's not you. It's not you at all. But God. But He. In Him, by Him, through Him. How many times does He have to tell us that? Huh? By Him, through Him, with Him, for Him, to Him, through Him. It's in Him. Reckon it to be so. That's what faith is. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ and God for your peace, for your comfort, for your consolation. And when Christ appears, our life, who's our life, we'll appear with Him in glory. All right. Now, next, Lord willing, next Sunday, we're going to look at this, what it means to mortify our memory. Okay.